Hi friends, welcome to this week's episode of You Can Rest Here. These are the conversations you have always wanted to have, except this time with a lot of biblical truth, laughter, beautiful and maybe uncomfortable silences, all leading to an increased awareness of the presence of God. Finally, we shall learn a rhythm of rest in a restless world. My name is Mazino Malaka. You can rest here. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode here at You Can Rest Here. But this time I'm resting not by myself, but I have a friend. Her name is Fayo. I'll let her introduce herself. Hey, girl.
Hi. Hi, everyone. My name is Fayo. What else?
What does your name mean?
My name means, well, I'm not going to tell you my full name because that's my government. But my name means God has given me joy.
That's what it means.
Yes.
And you give me a lot of joy.
I'm glad.
I love her a lot, guys. And honestly, I couldn't think of anyone better to have a messy conversation with. I think every episode this season will just be a lot of messy conversations from like very like normal people talking about an extraordinary God, but in the culture of honor. I love you a lot.
I love you too.
We've been friends for a while, and honestly, there are very few people where I can say I love the way you love me, and I feel like you love really well. And like you really welcome.
I'm learning how to take compliments.
Take it, no, please. And this is a bit of what we're talking about, like how we see ourselves. So please receive it. What does rest mean to you, Fayo?
What does rest mean to me? That's a very good question. I think people think rest is just doing nothing. I don't think rest is that. It can be sometimes, but I don't think they're equals to one another. I think rest is peace. I think there can be rest in chaos, and two things can exist at the same time. I think rest can be that like inner silence, like when the waves are not crashing and your thoughts aren't going wild, but you have that inner rest even though things outside or externally are going wild. So I think that rest can look like that. I don't know what else to say. I think rest is dynamic. I love that word.
Dynamic.
Rest is dynamic. But God gives rest. God gives rest.
So how do you feel like you're finding rest in this season of your life?
That's a good question. I would say I'm finding rest in contentment. I think there is, we live in a culture of go, go, go. If you live in any metropolitan city, it is a culture of go, go, go. And then even in 2023, we're always on to the next. Like, okay, you do one thing, it's on to the next. You do another thing, it's on to the next. We're always looking forward to the next big thing. And I think rest is contentment in where God has you. And sometimes that's not where you want yourself, but resting in where God has you, I think that's what like rest is for me right now. Like contentment with the blessings that he's given me.
Amen.
Counting my blessings and saying, okay, God, I'm just here with you. Whatever comes next, we'll deal with it. Whether that's good or bad or whatever.
So living just really in the present.
In the present with God. Because we also go to God with a lot of, okay, so what's next? When will I do this? When will I do that? And it's like, okay, but we just got here. Let's chill out a little bit, you know. And even take stock of how far he's brought you. Take stock 100%. Of what he's taught you. Resting in the knowledge that God has even given you for the now. So
Because you won't know everything. I love that because there's such a sense of mystery when it comes to God and what he's doing in our lives. And sometimes we want to know beyond what he has revealed.
Precisely.
Right?
Precisely.
And I think
I've not heard anybody say this categorically, but mm-hmm. when I listen to people talk, I know this is kind of what they mean, right?
Right.
Sort of feels like life wasn't that complicated outside of Christ.
It still isn't.
Yeah, right? Like, life wasn't that, but I mean it like, there are so many things now that we have to consider about ourselves,
yes.
about our minds, mm-hmm. about the way we think,
mm-hmm.
that outside of Christ you didn't have to consider. And precisely. It's almost like life has become harder in Christ,
yes.
than it was, yes. outside of Christ. And it's not that it's harder in the sense of like the responsibilities and the burdens,
mm-hmm.
because his yoke is easy, his burden is light.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's harder in terms of now you're coming to terms with who you thought you were,
yeah.
against who God says you are.
Yes.
And that discrepancy is, yes. intense.
Yes. And the complication is completely man-made. It's completely man-made because I feel like sometimes there are lots of questions that I go to God with, and his response is silence, not because he's ignoring me, but because he's like, that is not what I'm focusing on. Like, who told you that this is what I was asking you to think about?
Yeah.
Like, who told you that this was a problem? Who
yeah.
told you that this was like anything to be considered? Like,
yeah.
chill out.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of like confusion, or you know, chaotic energy that we may feel sometimes is man-made.
Mm.
Like when you go to God and you're asking him, but oh God, this, that, and he's like, who asked you
yeah.
for that? Like,
and I think
who told
that
you needed that?
I think that one of our biggest struggles when we do come to Christ is that we realize that God is so much better than whatever we had imagined.
Girl.
And why it feels like there's so much contention is because outside of Christ,
mm-hmm.
the enemy has nothing to attack, right?
Yeah.
There is no seed he's trying to uproot.
Yes.
So he will leave you. But the moment you come into Christ, you become woke. Like, not that type of woke, but you become woke in the sense that like you're awakened to how many lies you have believed.
Yes.
And how many lies you believed were facts.
Yes.
Like, there are certain things now that like you don't have to tell me twice.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this journey of unraveling the lies and entering into truth that I think is excruciatingly painful,
mm-hmm.
and for many of us takes us a long time.
Right, right.
And what I've sort of seen it as is like the self-deliverance that you didn't even know you needed.
Girl.
And it springs up at every stage of your walk with God.
It does. It does. And it's good you said that because I think I was watching With the Perrys, right? Their podcast. And this is completely unrelated, but it relates.
Yeah.
The guest that they had on the show said something about if you're having an argument with your spouse, because they were talking about their marriages, and the other person is like, but we've been here before, we've talked about this before,
yeah.
why are we talking about it again? Don't do that, because things are there to be rehashed
100% until
it is
complete.
And that's the same way with God.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there's some things that we go to God with and we're like, okay, but why are we talking about this again? We dealt
100%.
With this like 2 years ago, and God is like,
and a lot of it is
finish.
Identity stuff.
Thank
Do you know what I mean? Like,
thank you.
And sometimes, of course, I know I'm a son of God, I know I'm a daughter of the Most
mm-hmm.
High, I know I'm a priest
mm-hmm.
and a king and all these wonderful
yes.
things, but on this sanctification journey, my
mm-hmm.
mind still has to come to grasp with, okay, before I was living like a slave, now I'm invited into the house and I'm a son.
Mm-hmm.
How do I adapt to this new
mm-hmm.
environment?
Mm-hmm.
And something I want everyone to think about throughout this episode is, what do I believe about myself?
Yeah.
Because there are so many things we believe about ourselves that we need to check, right? I'm realizing more and more that people don't hate themselves because self-hatred is a big thing. Nobody likes to admit that. Actually, I don't really like me as much as other people like them. And even people who do like themselves, there are still so many insecurities and lies that we have to defeat, right?
Yeah.
But people don't hate themselves. What people hate is the lie that they have been told about themselves. Mm-hmm. They hate who they believe themselves to be.
Right.
Because nobody has been created, who has been created in the image of God, to hate themselves.
Right.
When God created us, there was no part of him that said, okay, I want you to like these parts of you, but then these other parts don't like them so much. We were created to love everything. And I think why we struggle so much, even in our relationships, in life with God in general, is because self-love and self-respect has been ejected out of the Christian faith in so many ways.
Yes.
And it's sort of like a, no, just love God. But no, you have to love yourself. Because you also are made in the very image of God. And I think the intention of the enemy is to feed us with lies. And then throughout our lives, he brings justification for those lies.
Right.
So you can't even believe that that lie, that, for example, maybe that you're not beautiful is a lie. Because the enemy will send his wonderful friends your way.
Yes.
Who will tell you you're ugly.
Yes.
So now, it's not just that this is a lie. It's that this is a lie that has been justified.
Yes.
With experience.
Yes. And let me, going off of the point of you're ugly, I don't think, so it can be a seed planted that you're ugly. And the justification for that lie that the enemy will bring is highlighting to you maybe the fact that you don't get approached by men.
Yes.
And so it confirms.
And you don't get likes on your
Instagram.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so it will water the seed that was sown.
Yeah.
It will be a very tiny seed.
Oh, like, yeah.
Am I ugly? Then you go out one day, maybe all your friends
are getting the guys are talking to them, and then
you were the only one that didn't get it.
Justification,
It starts to sprout.
Yeah.
Another thing, waters the seed, it starts to sprout until it becomes this full blown tree,
an entire garden, actually,
that you're ugly.
Yeah,
but the first time you thought it was small, thought it was very tiny.
Yeah,
you thought, nah.
Can't be me.
Can't be.
Yeah.
And then the enemy will highlight different things to you to pour water on that seed so that it continues to grow into this beautiful monster that begins to speak lies into your life.
Constantly. So what we realize, even as Christians, right? You know how scripture says, do not serve two masters.
Yeah.
We are serving two masters when we don't believe truth.
Right.
Because you are serving the master who loves you, which is God, but then you're also serving the master who accuses you.
Right.
Right. And scripture says that a house divided against itself cannot stand. So why so many of us are facing so much turmoil in our souls is because there is division between who God says we are and who we have believed we are based upon the justifications and the seeds that have been sown into our lives.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I started thinking the other day about, actually yesterday, about rejection, right? And I was thinking about the first time the seed of rejection was planted into my soul. And now it started becoming a full-blown garden, right?
Yeah.
It's that I'm now trying to cut the weeds and everything else from. But I realized that rejection was planted when I was in primary school. I think I was like 8 years old, right? And it sounds so silly, but I want you all to, it usually is so silly. And I want you all to think about the silly things that have actually been fostered into your soul, right? I was about eight, and we were auditioning for solos for Mariah Carey, Hero, right? And back then, I did have a bit of a voice, have more of it now, right? But it was between me and a friend of mine, and we all were going to wear a beautiful long red dress on that day, and we were going to sing Hero in assembly, right? It's going to be a big moment. And I auditioned, and she auditioned, and some other people, but then it was down to the both of us, right? Sadly, I wasn't selected to be Mariah Carey. But the way I was rejected, it was like I could hear the teachers talking and saying, no, this one's voice is better. Let's not have her. And the way she will look will be better. You know, all those little things. And that was at the age of eight.
Yeah.
I didn't get selected to sing a solo that I don't even care for now. Yet that seed was embedded within me. And I remember trying to figure out certain things with God. And God took me to that moment when I was a child.
Right.
And I almost felt like, God, like, are you, like, be for real.
Are you kidding me?
Like,
are you
kidding me? Like, be for real. Are you telling me that this rejection was planted from that tender age? No, you have to be having a laugh. And the Lord said to me that something told you, not that man won't accept you, but that even I wouldn't accept you.
Right.
And that I have in some way rejected you. And God started saying to me, you are always the one chosen for the solo.
My goodness.
You were always the one chosen for the solo. You were always the one. Even if nobody else selected you, you were always the one chosen for the solo. And I remember that day I sobbed. I literally was just crying so hard because I was like, I didn't know what that moment did for me, but God did.
Yeah.
And I think why I want us to search ourselves and wonder, what it is it that I believe is because there is something you believe about yourself that is counter the truth of what God believes about you. And it has come from somewhere. You're not insane for the way that you're thinking about yourself, right? Like, I don't know if there's a moment like you can pinpoint as like, oh yeah, this is where something became like a screw in my brain, like went a little bit off.
Girl, I feel like so many screws were off. Honestly.
God is only just finding his way to screw them back in. Yeah.
I look back on myself like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what was I really going through? No, because there were some screws that were askew. And like, I think the way I thought about, like, sometimes the way I looked, sometimes the way I even presented myself, sometimes the way I thought. Like, there were so many parts of my... the devil is a bad devil.
Yes, he's a filthy liar.
He's a bad devil.
Yeah.
Like, there were so many parts of myself that the devil was intent.
He was invested in. Like, no, it's an investment. And it happens typically when we're young. He makes his investment to tarnish our identity.
Yes. And if this didn't work, you'll try this.
Yes.
If it wasn't like the way I viewed my body, it would be the way like the thoughts that I had. He would try and attack the thoughts that I had. If it wasn't that, it would be the way that I'm perceived by other people. And all the ways in which that you in which you are attacked then bring out manifestations in you.
Oh, yeah.
Because you are then responding to those attacks in the way that only...
100%.
Like, in your human mind, as opposed to the understanding that this is an attack on your identity. Because a secure identity in Christ is a threat to the enemy.
Oh, yeah.
Knowing who you are in Jesus Christ, knowing... Not reading the words of the Bible saying we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Not that, having a confidence and an assurance in who God has called you to be and who he has who he has called you out to be to the world is a significant threat to the enemy. And it makes sense why he uses all avenues to attack the way we see ourselves, to attack the way we view ourselves, because that also impacts the way we interact with God.
And I think one thing that happens is that, you see, now in retrospect, we're learning from the past, right? Yes. But the devil... It's 2020. But the devil learns from our ignorance.
Yes.
Even if we don't.
Yes.
You know, and then he keeps us in these cyclical patterns, yes. right? What you don't realize is a half-truth is always a lie.
Always.
A half-truth can never be truth. So even if the because enemy...
It is garnished with
exactly,
lies.
Exactly.
There can be an iota of truth.
Yes.
And then the rest is just garnishes of lies.
100%. Mm-hmm. And as long as there is lies... It's a lie.
It's a lie.
And we can be so misled by the justifications that life will throw our way. Like, yeah. I sent a message to a friend recently and I said to her, I'm sorry for how poorly I respond to the way you love me.
Right.
And what I meant by that is that, again, with that rejection, right, there is a conditioning that... Now you respond to even the love that you desire mm-hmm. poorly, mm-hmm. right? So what now the devil will do is that I'm not the one who pushed your friends away.
You are.
You are. So who you blame for the fact that you have no friends?
Yeah.
Because he's planted the seeds in you that you now don't want to receive love. Mm-hmm. I said to her that the way... The mind often works, right? Mm-hmm. And particularly, I guess, my mind works because of that fear of rejection.
Yeah.
Is that you will push away the very things you actually want. For example, I want love. I want friendship.
Yes.
But I doubt the legitimacy of that thing.
Yes.
So I would rather push it away. Mm-hmm. Than to let it come mm-hmm. and not be what I want Precisely. And to defy my expectations, Precisely. Right? So I wrote down something and I just apologized because I was like, I know there is a way that I'm responding to you as if I don't want this thing.
Yeah.
But I want this thing. It's just that all these justifications have to be uprooted.
Yes.
Because a part of me... doesn't feel like I'm accepted.
Mm. Yeah. I feel like over the course of our lives, the enemy builds up a residual tank
yes.
of lies.
Oh, yeah.
And when we dispel one, another one will crop
yeah.
up. And it is, as children of God, we are to build up our residual tank of truth.
Yes.
To beat down and 100%. Cut down every lie.
100%.
Because you may think that, oh, you've dealt with one lie. But the enemy has been sowing seeds here and there. And he just needs one to grow. He doesn't need all of them to grow. He needs one to grow.
And usually, sometimes, I've even noticed that it's... They have the same... branch.
Root.
Root, right? The same root. Just different... ways that he decides to manifest these things.
Yes.
And what a lot of us don't realize is that the enemy feeds off of the lies that you believe about yourself.
Yes.
He will feed off of whatever you think you are. Which is why, again, scripture constantly talks to us about the renewal of the mind, right?
Definitely.
Because he cannot tell you something that you don't already believe.
Exactly.
There are certain things that the devil cannot say to me.
Mm-hmm.
But other things he might be able to say to me, and I will be more susceptible to believing those other things
yes.
than something else.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And I guess in that vein, it even matters not just what you believe, because often how do you believe something? We often believe things because of what we say.
Yeah.
And if I think about it, I've said a lot of things to myself that I have now believed.
Mm-hmm.
Or I've had a lot of things said to me, like, you know, you're not good enough to sing the Mariah Carey solo, right?
Mm-hmm.
That I now believe that maybe I'm not good enough for more than that.
Precisely.
Right? If you look at the creation of the entire world, creation of the earth, creation of animals, in Genesis, right? Mm-hmm. Creation was created through a speech.
Through the word of God.
Through the word. The spoken word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So then you realize that there is a speech we can tell ourselves that can destroy.
Yeah.
Because if words can create, words also would have the capacity to destroy. If the spoken word of God in Genesis formed everything that we see and that which we don't see, maybe there is a way that that self-hatred or a lack of self-love is being fostered by what we are speaking intentionally or unintentionally.
Yes, because life and death are in the power of the tongue, right? And I think it's important to ask ourselves where we're speaking death over ourselves.
Yeah.
And I don't think death means you die.
Oh, yeah. We think about these things so like intense. No, right. Death can simply be you saying to yourself, I never get chosen for the jobs I apply for.
Precisely. Precisely. And you are speaking death over that situation. Yeah. You are speaking down over what God has spoken.
Yeah.
In your life. And I think it's important that we check our speech, check the things that we're saying concerning ourselves, and even the things we're allowing to be said about us.
Exactly.
Because there's a lot of belief that is nurtured through repetition of what people say to us, right? Somebody has said XYZ about you, then another person repeats it in another context, another person repeats it, and you believe that thing is true about yourself.
Have you ever
into the power of death over your life.
Yeah. Have you ever had a scenario happen in life where, like, you could have spoken life, right? But you spoke death, and then what you spoke manifested.
Yes.
And I guess it's a whole thing of like harvesting what you speak, right?
Yeah.
And then you're a bit shocked, but you're also not shocked because you said
because low key, even though you didn't mean what you said, because what you desired was what you didn't speak. You simply desired it, but spoke something contrary.
Something contrary because of what was in your soul.
Yep.
So our soul is speaking, and our soul is dictating, and our mouth now finds partnership with whatever our soul believes.
Yes, yes.
Which is why, you know, in Matthew 15:11, it says, "What goes into someone's mouth is not what defiles them, but what comes out is what defiles them.
What comes out.
And whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil.
Yes.
And their lips from deceitful speech." That's what it says in 1 Peter 3:10. You must keep your lips from deceitful speech. How are we deceiving ourselves by what we're saying?
What is deceitful speech? Isn't that saying things that God hasn't said about you?
No matter how valid it is.
Yes.
For example, if I know that I've been procrastinating with work or I haven't been on job with things, I'm not going to call myself a lazy procrastinating person. All that does is give the enemy validity. And some people can be like, this is overly spiritual. Okay. I leave you to it.
Okay.
Try it.
Even going back to went to church Sunday and our pastor was talking about the name change between Abram and Abraham and how that was significant in aligning with God's promises over Abraham's life. A simple name change,
100%.
Simply like by being called his new name, it was an amen every single time.
It was an
amen.
It was an entrance to what God had been saying.
Every single time he was called his new name, Abraham, it was an amen. It was a stamp of approval. It was a stamp of alignment. It was a stance in agreement with the promises of Jesus, of God over him.
Isn't it funny that there were certain things Abraham couldn't enter into until he became Abraham.
Yeah.
And that name was changed.
Yes.
Right? Because you partner with whoever you believe you are.
Mm-hmm.
You partner with whatever you believe that you are.
Yes.
So if I believe that I am this,
mm-hmm.
I will partner with this.
Yes.
And become that thing.
Yes. And some of us are silent partners.
Oh, yeah.
With the devil.
Oh, yeah.
We don't need to necessarily shout and say, I agree with your lies.
But our actions.
Yes. Our actions, the things that we repeat from what we've heard, from what the lies he has spoken over us, we are silently, or even the fact that we do not refute some things.
Yeah.
There are some things that I've heard the enemy say to me, and I say in response, shut up.
Yeah.
Be quiet, be silent, and I speak the truth of God.
Yeah.
Even our reluctance to refute or to say, no, that's a lie.
Yes.
Is a silent partnership.
It's a silent partnership. Because you know there are certain things, right, that I will hear in my mind that is in my voice. So I will hear it as if it's me that's saying it.
Yes.
But what I will say, that's not me.
Precisely.
I don't know where that thought came from. But it wasn't definitely me. It did not come from me. Where did it come from?
Mm-hmm.
There was a period in 2019 where I started saying things to the Lord like, God, I don't want to die, but I don't necessarily enjoy living.
Mm.
Who planted that thought in me? Because it clearly wasn't God. Where did it come from? And that's why for so many of us, the spirit of death hovers around us because of our silent agreement and partnership.
Yes, yes. You don't have to say that you agree with the devil. As long as you don't disagree.
You're just not doing anything about it is your agreement.
As long as you don't disagree, that is enough. You know, they said don't leave a gap.
Don't give the devil a foothold. Mm-mm. It doesn't say give him your whole body.
Do not.
It says do not give him a foothold. That means all he needs is a little bit.
Yes.
The leaving of the Pharisees, it says just a little bit of yeast, and the whole thing rises.
Yes,
the whole bread rises. Add a little bit of yeast to something you're making, even if it's just a tiny bit, it will rise.
And that is why you don't only need to agree with the devil, you need to disagree with the devil. You need to explicitly say, I do not
shut
agree
up.
With that.
And not even just the shut up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is why you must have your weapon of war.
The
because if you just say, I disagree. You know, Jesus, when he was being accused by the devil, he didn't just say, devil, shut up now. Mm-hmm. You're talking too much. I don't like what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
What did he do? He used his sword, which is the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think biblical illiteracy is killing us as a generation.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you cannot disagree if you don't have knowledge.
Yes. Yes. And if you don't have knowledge, get knowledge.
Get knowledge.
It's not, I don't think it's enough to stop at the fact that you don't have knowledge.
And just be like, oh, well, I don't know.
We once didn't have knowledge.
100%.
And we also don't have all the knowledge.
All the knowledge. Because there are still things that I don't know how to disagree with the word.
Thank you.
And I'm still learning.
Thank you. And you need to keep learning because the truth is that the enemy is relentless.
Yeah.
He's relentless because he just needs one seed to grow into a full-blown garden. He just needs that one. He doesn't need too many things. I was watching a video the other day, and this was a lady who she came out of the occult and witchcraft and things like that. And she said, people don't know that the enemy doesn't need you to serve him.
Yeah.
He just needs you not to serve God.
Ooh.
The enemy doesn't need you to be speaking the lies that he is speaking over you. He just needs you not to know the truth.
Yeah.
To refute his lies. Exactly. He just needs you to be illiterate.
Yeah.
He just needs you to be, you know, to just lie down and take it.
100%.
The minute you stand up for yourself in Christ, that is when you are actually a threat 100%. To the enemy.
100%. And I think that goes back to this whole idea of like, my life was easy.
Yes.
When I was outside of Christ. But the moment I decided to pick up this sword,
yes.
The moment I decided to know God, now the enemy has something to attack.
Yes.
Because prior, you could lie to me, you could say all sorts of things to me, and I'll just say, okay, no problem. This is who I am. I'm rejected. Wow. Aww. But now you say certain things to me and I fight you.
Yeah. And there I say no.
There is a tug of war between us and I show you who's boss.
Yeah.
Because the saddest thing about this is that you can come to the end of your supposedly victorious walk with God and realize that the enemy has sabotaged your ability to receive anything from God.
Right.
Because of everything he's fed you.
Right.
And because that will then birth rejection, low self-esteem, a lack of self-love and self-appreciation. And then you come to the end of your life, which is so painful for so many people who are still even in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Is to realize that God had so much in store for them,
but
they never came to see the manifestation of it.
God.
It's like sometimes I think to myself, how many missed opportunities? How many times have I missed the fullness of what God had because of the lie that I partnered with?
Yes, yes. And that's like, I think people think that kind of end of life situation is for people who don't know God.
Oh no.
But what a tragedy it would be.
It's a tragedy.
For us not to die empty.
Yeah.
For us to die, yes, in Christ, but not having achieved what God actually put us here for.
Us, yeah.
Like I think it is something that I'm constantly aware of and constantly fighting because I know that the enemy is hell-bent on making sure that maybe, yes, you're in Christ, but maybe you're doing
the bare minimum.
You're doing the bare minimum.
You live a half life.
Yes, you're in Christ, but you are not as effective as God actually intended for you to be because you are bought into his lies, because you are bought into fear, because he has planted low self-esteem in you.
Yeah.
He has made you believe that you have nothing to offer the world when God actually put you here to move mountains with the words that you speak,
100%.
to heal people, to bring people to him. But he will let you be a shadow of who God made you to be,
and
because you are less effective that
and
way.
And I think we need to even be able to see when someone is a shadow and be like, "Hey, you're not being the fullest you can be.
There's more. There's more inside to you. Of you."
Like for me, if I'm honest, the only reason why I guess I love you all and I love that you love the podcast, but the main reason for me personally why I'm doing this, right, is because I know all the odds that were stacked up against me to get to this point.
Yeah.
See that rejection? I know I'm kicking her in the butt.
I know
how pained the enemy is that I'm doing this again.
Mm-hmm.
Because even the first time he made it difficult, the second time he's made it difficult.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, no. As hard as it is, I will do the will of God.
Yeah.
And I think, again, which is why like I love our relationship, right? Is because you snuff out the shadows and pull me into light, right? Because there are sometimes there are certain things I won't see in myself that you will be able to see simply because you know that I am made for more.
Yes.
And you see, a lot of us sometimes we talk a lot about healing on this podcast, and a lot of this is healing. But one thing I don't want us to do is to mix deeper healing and warfare, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not always the spirit of this and the spirit of that. And
the spirit of...
Sometimes your soul's trauma needs to be resolved.
Yes.
And cannot be ignored no matter how much casting and binding you do.
Thank you.
You must get to the root.
Yes.
Because all we want to do is that, God, snip off this branch. Mm-hmm. Snip off this branch mm-hmm. and I'll be okay. Mm-hmm. And then it builds again.
Yes.
Because from its root yes. level... You have decay.
Yes, yes. And that's what I was saying about the residual tank of lies.
Yes.
The soul wounds that we've acquired over time.
Yeah.
The heart scars that we have that maybe have been plastered over.
Yeah.
Right? And we're functioning better than we were outside of Christ.
Yes.
But we haven't
gotten to the point. You're not at your optimum.
You are not there.
Yeah.
You have not attained.
Yes.
You haven't gotten to the point where God needs you to
You're
be.
That girl. But you're not
that girl. That's true. And I think we conflate it with, you know, somebody needs to lay hands on me and maybe I have a demon and something will come mm-hmm. out. No.
Nobody's coming to save you. I think this is the most healing
thing. Jesus has saved you and walk in that. You need to walk
in that.
It is
done. When he was on that cross and he said it was finished, it's finished.
Yeah.
You need to stop looking for who is coming to save you, because this inner work of your soul, you must do it with the Lord.
Yes.
You cannot do it outside of the presence of God. Yes, people can say to you, there's something here. I can see that there's an issue, and they can lay hands mm-hmm. on you and you might experience an initial deliverance. But if you are not constant in doing the work,
mm-hmm.
what will happen, like scripture says, the devil will let you free one day. But if you are not constant in doing that work, he will bring his friends to infiltrate that home, which is your holy temple.
Yes, yes, completely agree. I think we need to take responsibility for the path that God has us on.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to push you down that road. You need to walk it with God hand in hand. The Lord is your shepherd. Let him lead you.
Yeah.
I think, like Maz said, some people are waiting for somebody to save them. Some people are waiting for somebody to pull them higher.
Yeah.
As in, maybe there's somebody at a level that you think you want to get to, and you're waiting for that hand up. And sometimes you need to do the work so that God can give you the leg up.
Yes.
Instead of somebody
pulling you
up.
Because that hand up is the Holy Spirit, and he's been there. I think it's so sad.
Thank you.
We undermine the help that we already have, and we constantly search for other people to help us.
Yes. Yes.
Mere
yes.
mortals. And it's not that human beings are not great. It's not that, you know, all of this and all that we're doing here will mm-hmm. not touch you.
Yes.
It will touch you. But there is a touch from heaven that you cannot receive
mm-hmm.
from mere mortals.
Yeah. And if you think that this is going to be enough.
This ain't it, girl.
It's,
guy,
it's not.
This ain't
it's
it.
It's not. You need to go on your hands and knees.
Yes, you do.
And speak to your you father.
Do. And it's because a process.
He only knows where those wounds are.
Yeah.
God took Maz back to 8 years old.
Yeah.
A memory that she probably like
insignificant, thought,
like inconsequential memory.
And
she right?
knows something that's so interesting about this memory that I had is that that one instance was the one instance of rejection that like I remember that mm-hmm. sowed such a big seed, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was small, but it was big, right? But at home and other aspects of my life, I had loving parents.
You do.
I had loving siblings. I have loving parents.
Shout
but then
them.
They my parents were conscious to constantly call forth goodness that was within me. So what I'm saying is that no amount of human speech is enough.
It's not.
And I had to learn that, and I guess we all have to learn, that not everything you think or feel, no matter how real it feels, is true.
It's truth. Yeah. Yeah.
There are some things that I know that are so untrue, but there are also others that have become so deeply entrenched into my soul,
mm-hmm.
right? And it has been validated by others and by other things that those things may take longer to be uprooted just because of how strong
the root is
deep. Right? And now still, I've been in Christ's ward for like 5-6 years. I am still doing the work, and you're still doing the work.
I am still doing the work.
I heard Lisa Harper, who is in her 60s. Sorry, Mama Lisa, if you are not in your 60s. But I heard her say that at the age of 40, she was still wrestling with whether God loved her or not. And do you know how healing that was for me?
Wow.
To realize that this wrestle, though unending, she said she knew it, but there were still some parts of her
that doubted
it.
Yes, yes.
And what we're hoping is that we come to the end of ourselves,
yes,
and all of that doubt, we are made to perfection. That's what mm-hmm, James says, mm-hmm, that you become so perfect and complete, yes, lacking nothing.
Nothing, lacking nothing.
So as a point of caution, anything you hear that is not redemptive, that is not, that does not sound like the nature and the love of God, throw it away.
Yes.
And that's why it's so important for us to, again, like I said in the last episode, discern between conviction and accusation.
You need to, because I think the enemy intentionally straddles that line.
Yeah.
And especially for people who are in Christ.
Yes.
For people who are not in Christ, maybe it's a very stark difference.
Yeah.
But I think for people who are in Christ, the enemy will get as close to the line as possible so that you will think,
He imitates light. That's what
yes,
he is.
You think, is that God?
Could it be?
Is that God?
Yeah.
Like it sounds like God. Like it sounds like it could be
God. But it also doesn't sound like God. Even
exactly.
The tone at which it comes.
Thank
the weight that it now puts on your shoulders.
Yes.
You just have to know this ain't
yes.
it.
Yes. There's some things that I've heard in my spirit, and it was the tone that alerted me to the fact that's the enemy.
Yeah.
It was the tone. Like, the words, vague.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The tone. I said, that's not my Heavenly Father.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not
even the pitch. Sometimes, I hear shouting. And I'm like, yeah, that's not my God.
And I'm not saying that, oh, God comes to me like, oh.
Darling fire.
Because the Holy Spirit scolds me all the 100%. Time. So it's not that I'm not looking for that kind of correction, but there's a tone of accusation that I've heard in certain words. I've said, nope, the Holy Spirit don't accuse.
Yeah.
He don't do that. He don't do that.
Yeah. And
he don't do that.
I think sometimes, you know, in Revelations, the Lord is speaking to the church, and he says, go back to what you did at first, right? And I feel like for some of us who feel like we should know better by now, that we you know, why is this happening to me? How can I be fighting these thoughts?
Yeah.
Who am I? Am I not the righteousness
I'm
of
10
God?
Years in the I, game.
Jesus, I mean, I've been in the game. I've been here. Like Lisa, how about 40? I've been a Christian mm-hmm. for all this time.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to learning and relearning and relearning and redigesting the mm-hmm. simple things such mm-hmm. as the love of God. And mm-hmm. how does God see me?
Yes.
You know, something I've been telling myself and I want to tell everyone is that God couldn't love you more if he tried.
He could not.
And when you understand that your mannerisms, your speech, your gait will change the moment you accept the love of God.
Thank you.
That when he sees you, he doesn't just see you. He sees his son. When God sees us, mm-hmm. he sees Jesus mm-hmm. Christ, whom he loves so dearly.
Yes.
Right? He doesn't see your tarnished mm-hmm. Body. He doesn't mm-hmm. see the errors and the mistakes. He sees Christ.
Yeah.
Right? And anyone who's feeling like, I should be past this, maybe you should, right? But maybe you're here for a reason, because you're not. You don't have the weapons and you don't have the truth that is required to defy the lies.
Mm-hmm.
And deliverance isn't always instantaneous,
it's
you
not.
Know. Sometimes you're still being delivered because we're still on the journey of sanctification. But I do know that you'll wake up one day and you'll realize that lie you believed you no longer do.
Yes.
That lie is actually a lie. I know we've spoken a lot about the things we're still unraveling, but there are other things that you cannot take away from me.
Yes.
There are other things the enemy cannot dare to lie to me
mm-hmm.
about.
Mm-hmm.
And though there are some that he can still try, there are still others that I know for a fact that this thing God has put in me, you cannot snatch mm-hmm. it out of me.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I want to talk about the practical things that you and I have done, or mm-hmm. people, even the things that maybe we're not that good at,
bruh.
But we know people will benefit from,
mm-hmm.
That will help them to bring an end to self-hatred,
yeah.
Rejection, yeah. and also self-sabotage. Because I guess that's what I spoke about without labeling
yes,
it, sabotaging
yes.
myself in these
yes.
relationships that
yes.
I do want, but
yes.
because I'm so afraid of it not being what I expect it to
yes.
be, there's a sabotage.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll go first with like something that sounds so silly, but isn't. You owe it to yourself to be kinder to yourself. Be kind to yourself.
Yeah.
There are certain things that you file
mm-hmm.
won't say to other people. You
yeah.
won't say it to me.
Yeah.
But you might be comfortable in saying
it
to yourself.
Myself, yeah.
We need to stop that.
Yes. Yeah. I think for me, the question I want everyone to ask themselves is, who do I say I am? And who does God say I am?
Yeah.
And what is that gap?
Yeah.
What are the behaviors that I'm exhibiting? What are the reactions that
yeah.
I'm having? What are the mannerisms that I have?
Mm.
What is manifesting in me that makes me contradict who God says I am?
Yeah.
And for some people, they don't know who God says they are.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Ask him. Like, you know, was it... when Jesus asked his disciples, "Well, who do you say I am?"
They said, some say you are this, some say you are that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, okay, some say, uh-huh.
But who do you say I am? And I think it's okay for us to ask God that question. Because some say you are this, some
yes.
say you are rude, some say you are a failure, some say you are delayed, you are behind in life, some
yeah.
say all sorts of things. Who does God say you
yeah.
are?
Yeah.
It's okay for you to pose that question to him because
yes.
he knows you. And I think when we have that answer, or when the Holy Spirit begins to reveal those parts of us that he says we are, let's match it up to who we say we are.
Yeah.
And let's see, where is the difference?
Do you know
and how do we get from here
to there?
To here?
What's so interesting about what you're saying is that, remember like Gideon, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Gideon
yeah.
is saying to the Lord all the reasons why God can't use him.
Yes.
I'm the least of these.
Yes.
My people are the least. You know, everything bad, 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 bad,
mm-hmm.
bad. God, don't
mm-hmm.
choose me. I'm
mm-hmm.
not supposed to be the one that you would send on this great mission,
mm-hmm.
right? And God never speaks into whatever he thinks he is. God doesn't speak into his deficiency.
Yeah.
If you read it,
yeah.
God calls him mighty man of valor. Somebody has already been telling you that they're weak. That's why it's good to inquire.
Ask
and
questions.
Inquiring can look messy like it did for
yes.
Gideon. It can look like you saying, but God, I feel like I'm this. I feel like I'm that. God
mm-hmm.
didn't justify what he was saying, no matter how true it was.
Yes.
Because was Gideon weak? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was he a little bit ditzy? I mean, this bro
not
was threshing wheat out of a wine press. So what he was doing was wrong.
Yeah.
Right? But it didn't matter because
mm-hmm.
your insignificance is
yes.
insignificant to God,
Thank
right?
you.
So that's what happens when you wrestle for truth
mm-hmm.
is that no matter how insignificant you feel that you are, even that insignificant when put in place with who God
yes.
has said you are
yes.
is insignificant.
Yes, and I think it's important we do that side by
yeah.
side comparison, because I think some of us might assume that we are walking in who God says we are, but you need to do a significant heart check
scan
And you need to actually ask God,
yeah,
am I, this idea of myself that I have, does it marry with who you have called me to
and
be?
You know why? As much
some
as
people are even coveting other people's gifts because they don't know who God says they are. And like, you think you are maybe a preacher.
Yeah.
But God calls you an evangelist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And as much as we think we can search our own hearts, you can't. Which is why Psalm 139 says, David said, God, search my heart. Because David knew that he's incapable of searching his own heart.
Yes.
All this work in the soul we're asking you to do, you cannot do it without God. You can't even do it by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even do it with your therapist.
You can't. And that's very true.
You can't. Your therapist cannot search your heart. Your therapist can tell you maybe what's on the on the layer of your heart, but they cannot tell you what is within you. Only Christ can. Only God
can. Completely agree.
So searching your heart, asking the Lord to search your heart is another practical thing to do. Of course, we've spoken about the word killing biblical illiteracy in your life and learning to war with the word of God.
Yes.
Right? It's when you read the word that you know for a fact, lie or no the bongut. You know that whoever God is, so am I.
So are you. Yeah.
Whoever Christ is, so am I.
Yeah.
And it's a daily thing.
Yes.
I have a friend, like this friend, I consider her like a miracle. What has happened in her life the past few years is incredible. She was facing so much rejection when she would apply for jobs and apply for scholarships and all these things. And what she did was that for a while she beat herself up and was like so downtrodden about everything. But one day she picked herself up and she began to war with the word. It wasn't anything. She wasn't warring with gallons and gallons of scripture. Do you know what she kept walking around saying to herself? She kept saying, I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus.
Yes.
I'm the righteousness of, as in she would, she said there's nowhere she would walk. If she was going to the supermarket, I'm the righteousness of God. She kept repeating it until she believed. And what we don't realize is repetition causes belief.
Faith comes by hearing.
And hearing by the what? The word of
and,
God.
And sometimes the hearing you need to hear is you saying it,
you
back,
saying
to
it back to
yourself.
Not you hearing it from somebody
else. Yeah, some people think, oh, they need to go and sit down under someone who's going to speak. You need to
sit with the word and repeat the word.
And hear
and that's
it again.
What meditation
and
is.
Yes.
I guess another thing is shaking off victimhood and self-pity. There are a lot of things that I've been through in life, right, that if I allow myself, I can stay there.
Yeah.
I remember once I had someone that loves me dearly say to me, get over it. And I was so offended. I'm telling you about all this trauma. And you are saying to me, get over it.
Yeah.
And maybe, yeah, the way it came out, it was a bit much. But actually, I sat with it. I was like, actually, Maz, it's about damn time.
Yes.
That you get over it.
Yes.
Because you, and what I mean, shake off victimhood. Mm-hmm. As in, even when people want to remind you of where you've been, tell them, I'm not there again. Thank you very much. I'm not there.
There's so many people that are so insecure in their walk with God because people keep reminding them of where they've been. And that is also
aren't
a lie.
Aren't you the girl that
used to do this?
Or aren't you the girl that did that?
I'm not, because I'm not a new creation.
I don't know who that person is.
Who's she? I never met her before.
Yeah, because all that builds is a threshing ground for self-pity.
Yes.
And, you know, you are in your victory era now and forever.
Amen.
So whenever those things try to come up and even the enemy reminds you of where you've been, say, I am in my victory era now and forever.
Amen.
And I want us to pray for people.
Yeah.
I want us to pray against a lot of the things that we know they are carrying. Because no matter how much you want to pretend, if you watch this episode and you think I am good, ask him to search you. And there is a part of you that has not been fully conformed to the image of God.
Yes.
We all have it.
If that work was finished, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
The work is ongoing.
It's ongoing.
The work is continuous. The work is messy.
It's messy.
It's so messy. Like, I hate how I look when I cry. Yeah. But I be crying because God be dragging me.
Yeah.
But it is so necessary. And I think the amount of things that the Lord has healed me from, delivered me from, removed from me, changed my perspective on, I think it continues to reconfirm how uncomplicated a walk with God is, because it continues to simplify your life in so many ways, because you then realize that that was baggage. This was not necessary. That was a lie. The truth of God is so clear about me. I didn't need all of these things. Yeah. And so first things first, don't be afraid to do the work.
Yeah.
I think there's some topics within myself that I was like, I don't want
Let's not go there.
I don't want to broach this topic because I don't know where we will even start, where we will finish. But as Maz has repeated, this is not a work for you to do.
No, this isn't homework you're supposed to do.
No, it's not. It's not that I tell you to go and write down 10 things about myself that lies.
No.
It's the work of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the messiness of sanctification. We're talking about the messiness of what it means to be perfected into the image of Christ. And it is a journey, but best believe that God is with you on that journey. You are not supposed to do it by yourself.
So we're gonna
not at all
agree and pray over you all. Heavenly Father, we just thank you because the entrance of your word brings light.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you, God, because you are putting your light upon every sore wound that remains in the heart of your beloved, that remains in the soul of the ones that you sent your son to die for.
Lord.
And God, we just pray that there will be no fear to enter into the journey of sanctification deeper. That God, as you are pulling your children into the deep, there will be no fear in entering into the deep.
Amen.
Father Lord, I pray that you would cover their minds with a wall of fire.
Amen.
That as you are doing this work, the enemy will not have his hand over what you are doing.
Amen.
That they will be protected by fire.
Amen.
That Lord, you will surround them by fire.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you will send your angels forth to even assist them in this work.
Amen.
God, I pray that however they have been lied to for years and decades, that God, one word from you will change everything.
Amen.
That your truth will come and it will begin to scatter every lie. God, I pray that your love begins to cast out all fear.
Amen.
Cast out all anxiety.
Amen.
I pray that you bring them mental sobriety.
Yes, Jesus.
We pray against self-sabotage, that you would redeem the years that the locust and the cankerworm has tried to steal from them.
Amen.
You will redeem all the lost times.
Amen.
God, I pray for anybody who feels like they have lost years and years from their life, that you would redeem the time.
Amen.
How you redeemed the time for me, you will redeem the time for them.
Amen.
Oh God. God, I pray that they will know you as the Lord of hosts, the Lord of angelic armies, the Lord of heavenly forces who comes to fight for their redemption.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that you would reconcile every part of them that is broken and aching back to the love of the Father.
Amen.
Do you want to pray anything?
Lord, we thank you because
thank you, Father.
We are who you say we are.
Yes, Jesus.
Your word concerning us is final.
Amen.
Your word concerning us is true. Your word concerning us is life.
Amen.
And so, Lord, we stand in agreement today with who you say we are.
Yes, God.
We stand in agreement today with who you have called us to be.
Yes, God.
And we ask you, Lord, to take us on that journey.
Amen.
We ask you to take us on that journey
tear
to get to the point of who you say we are, Lord. Lord, we ask you to search our hearts.
Yes, God.
The hidden crevices of our hearts where lies have been sown.
Amen.
The hidden parts of our hearts where we have bought into lies, where we have stood in agreement with deceit,
yes,
with the lies that the enemy has sown. Lord,
amen,
we ask that your light will shine in
amen.
Every dark place
amen.
And uproot the lies of the enemy.
Amen.
We ask that you take them out from their root,
yes,
O
Father.
Lord, and you burn them to the ground.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, we thank you.
Thank
we
you,
thank
God.
You because we are who you say we are. We are
yes.
who you say. Nobody else. We dispel the lies of people the people that have spoken lies over us. We dispel those lies. We dispel even people calling us by our old names.
Oh, yeah.
We are not who we used to be.
Oh, yeah.
We are not who we were before
oh, yeah.
Christ. We are a new creation. Lord, help us walk in confidence
Amen.
In the newness of life that you have given
Amen.
Us. Help us walk in confidence
Amen.
In the new identity that you have
Amen.
Given us. Help us stand in authority
Hallelujah.
Against the lies of the enemy that say that we are something else. Help
Amen.
Us stand in that authority,
Amen.
O Lord.
Amen.
Father, give us peace. People who will see us as who you say we are,
Amen.
Who will call us in that new name,
Amen.
Who will stand and say, no, this is who you, this is who God says you are, and that
yes.
is how you are going to walk.
Amen.
Give us people who will surround us with the truth.
Amen.
Give us people who will repeat the truth back to us.
Yes, God.
Give us the confidence, Lord, to speak the truth of the Lord over ourselves,
Amen.
Lord. Take us deeper into your word,
yes,
because
God.
That is where we will find truth.
Yes, God.
Take us deeper into prayer, because that is where we will find you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank
in
you,
Jesus'
Father.
Name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, like, we have to applaud when deliverance has taken place.
Yes.
And, you know, and I genuinely feel there are people who have been delivered from just the vulnerability
yes.
of this episode and
yes.
just the power of the word of God. And
yes.
we're going to do a lie detector challenge on the page, guys. And in this challenge, there's going to be a document that will be shared with you. And I want you to write down the lies you believe. And on the other side of the lies, search for the truth in the word of God that will counter that lie. And we are going to call this the lie detector challenge. And we're going to do it over the next week. So please follow us at You Can Rest Here Pod on Instagram. And we'll keep you up to date with the challenge. We love you.
I love you,
Fire. Thank you so much for
your
time. And of course, we keep resting. We're just going to keep coming back week after week and being transformed more into the image of God
Amen.
And more into resters.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Bye.